Next on BYUSN, what are our expectations for BYU basketball in year two under Kevin Young? And what accomplishment from last season is most repeatable? Plus, BYU point guard Robert Wright III makes his show debut. Why did he choose BYU and what are his expectations for this season?
Brielle Kemmerer and Ellie Mortensen, BYU women's volleyball, give us an update from the cruise and discuss what the Cougars are building for the Big 12. And women's soccer rolls out their 2025 schedule. The home opener is going to be one for the ages. We'll break it all down for you on Sports Nation.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Thursday, April 17th. My name is Jason Shepherd. That, everybody, is Dave McCann.
We got a loaded show
yes,
today.
Yes, we do.
Let's start our journey with the words of Brian W. Proctor. The sea, the open sea, the blue, the fresh, the ever free.
Are you just Googling sea
poems?
It's
all in here. It's all in here.
Okay.
Let's go to the navigator on the seas and join two guys on the boat, Spencer Linton and Blaine Fowler. Guys, for the final day, it's all yours.
I'm impressed, Dave. Yesterday it was Jack Cousteau, and then you bust out that today. That is incredible. Hey, I'm just happy to be standing here next to Blaine Fowler. We think Jerem Jordan is somewhere on the boat still. We'll have to confirm that later. But for the moment, Blaine, what have you thought of the cruise thus far now that you're here with me on BYU Sports Nation?
I don't want to make Jason and Dave feel bad, but this has been awesome. It really has been amazing. It's a little cooler today. Only supposed to have a high of 63. We have had some great weather along the way. And if you're looking for Jerem, just check the buffet, because that's where he's been most of the time. Every time I go through the buffet, Jerem's in the buffet. It has been an incredible experience, and we didn't know what to expect. But the interaction that we've had with this Cougar Nation and with fans has been incredible. They've been gracious. They've been kind. You can just feel the love from Cougar Nation directed toward us, toward the athletes. And the athletes have had this great chance to bond with one another across sports. It's been so fun to watch them almost hang out as a pack throughout this thing. It has been great. And we've done some fun things together on this with panel discussions and
yes.
things. It has been a tremendous experience. I hope this thing keeps going every year.
Yeah, speaking of the panels, yesterday, how often do you get in the same room Gifford Nielsen, Jim McMahon, Brandon Dolman, and the guy that he coached as quarterback's coach at BYU, Max Hall? Those four on a panel together, not surprisingly, Dave and Jason, were incredible. Giff and Jim specifically, their relationship is so unique. I thought I understood that dynamic, Blaine, but until I got them together in the same room, I didn't really know just how close those two are.
Yeah, and the respect for that group of quarterbacks. We did this panel discussion in the Royal Theater, which is the biggest venue on the ship, and it was packed to the rafters. Balcony full, everything full. I love the reception that Jim McMahon gets each time he is part of a panel or as people see him on the ship. They just love him. But that dynamic between Giff and Jim, every time Jim would start to go with a story that would start to come off the rails, Gifford Nielsen would say, Jim, read the audience.
Read the room, buddy.
Read the room. But he was hilarious. And Brandon almost served as the tempering force for Max Hall as well. So it was really fun, and we got some insights that you can't get anyplace else. It was really fun, and to have those four greats all together and to play off of one another as you and I interviewed them and conducted that panel was really a treat for me and for you.
Guys, it's only fitting that this boat, this is not a joke, literally has a Studio B. Yes, there is a Studio B on the Navigator of the Seas, and we've talked a few times about the Royal Theater. But what an incredible experience and opportunity just to rub shoulders with so many legends and to hear from them and, frankly, to learn from them. And then to see the respect that Blaine was talking about. Such a unique experience. And obviously, we wish you were here. But you guys are doing big-time work back in the other Studio B, including welcoming officially the newest member of the BYU men's basketball team. Guys?
Look. We'll be honest, it doesn't feel like you really wished we were there on the boat.
Not a chance.
We appreciate you saying that.
Not a chance.
But do you guys even know where you are? Can you see land? I think you'll be in L.A. sometime tomorrow morning. Where are you guys at?
There's some land over there to the east of us, and we passed by late last night. When Spencer and I were getting out of the disco around 1 a.m.,
you think that's a joke? It's not.
It's true. And Brittany and Brenda, they can still bring it, you guys. They can still bring it. But we were up there with a ton of athletes having a dance party until 1 o'clock in the morning last night. I went back to my room, and we were just passing the Baja Peninsula and Cabo San Lucas. So we're somewhere between Cabo and L.A. The further north we get, the colder it gets. And that's – but you know what? We don't really care where we are because we're going to be right where our feet are, and that's on the ship. We're going to enjoy it for one more day. And you know what? Truly, you guys, thank you from the bottom of all of our hearts. We couldn't all be here doing this if you two weren't back there taking care of everything. Everybody
Amen.
Asked me where you are. They ask about both of you.
Amen.
And we tell them they're minding the store, they're holding down the fort, they're covering baseball and all kinds of things and hosting. So we owe a great debt of gratitude to you guys for doing this for us so that we could be here.
Our thanks from somewhere in the North Pacific Ocean. At least that's what Google Maps says.
Hey,
guys,
that's a pretty good save. You guys are professionals.
Well done.
Nice
well done.
Job.
Bring me a plate from
that.
The buffet.
See you guys on Monday.
You got it.
If discotheque and dance parties were involved, maybe it's a good thing that we weren't there. Because nobody needs to see that.
No, we'd both be still in the disco, even at this hour.
Yes, we would. All right. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. What Kevin Young and his staff set out to do in year one worked.
This year was something special.
BYU's ceiling kept being pushed up. Wow, I didn't know that he could be this good.
I think thinking that BYU could be potentially a top 10 team is not out of the equation.
All right, we talked a lot about it yesterday. On the one-year anniversary of Kevin Young being hired as BYU's basketball coach, we look back on all that BYU accomplished in year one. Now that we're officially in year two and we look forward, what are your expectations for BYU basketball in year two?
We'll hit some bullet points in a second on whether or not it can be repeated. But don't you just feel like you're going to see more of the same? Last year was the start. This year won't be that staff's first year in the Big 12. It'll be the second. And then it just starts from there. The staff's more comfortable in what they're going to do and the venues they're going to go to. And it just feels like more of the same and then elevated. And that's what I think Cougar Nation expects.
Yeah, and I'll go similarly, and I agree with you, having that familiarity from year one going into year two, it's like anything. You do something once, and obviously you've answered a lot of questions, and you kind of know how to navigate things a little bit better. The thing specifically that came to my mind was all the attention that BYU got last year. And obviously, there was a big splash when you hire a guy from the NBA. And then as the season progresses, BYU starts to win. And you start to see a little bit more national attention. And then you start climbing the polls. And you start picking up these big wins. And all the attention gets bigger and bigger. And then obviously, everything with Richie and the tater tots. And then making the Sweet 16 run. What I expect is all of that attention to be heightened and taken to the next level this year.
Yeah.
Because of what they did last year, now they're on everybody's radar more than they ever have been. So now you come into the season with everybody paying attention. Then on top of that, you have the number one recruit in the country, the potential number one NBA draft pick in the following season.
Yeah.
We've already seen what it's done in terms of the MTEs that BYU is going to play in, the fact that they're going to be on more of the ESPN channels or versus maybe the ESPN pluses. You already see it. So it's, you mentioned things being heightened. The amount of eyeballs and attention being shown to BYU, I think, will be heightened.
Outside of getting these recruits and kids in the transfer portal, and we're going to hear from a fantastic one coming up in a minute, the fact that BYU is invited to Madison Square Garden in December to play in the Jimmy V Classic, that to me screams it's a new day. You can add guys and you can play your Big 12 schedule and all those things. But then when someone goes, we'd like you to come play in the most famous arena in the world against another team just like you on national TV in December, that means you're in. You're in the club. You've made it.
Yeah.
And I think that just screams difference, as you see even the preseason recognition across the board. Fifth best team, sixth best team, eighth best team. Yeah. We've never been in this space.
Right. Yeah. It's exciting. All right. Should we go over some of these things that accomplishments last year?
Yeah. So we'll ask each other questions, okay, and then you and you at home answer and just shout at the TV, and we'll with technology, we should be able to hear some of those.
I think
those
that technology responses. Exists.
BYU won 26 games a year ago. How repeatable is this?
I think it's repeatable. Look, and I don't want to get caught up in the actual number of wins, because sometimes you can have a better team but maybe not have as many wins. You can prepare yourself and be ready for the postseason better, but maybe you drop a game or two. I mean, if we're going specifically at 26, it's repeatable, but I don't know if that's necessary for BYU to get to where they want to go.
I think it's repeatable. I look at the 10 losses, and you look at this team, and should this team lose 10 times, and that seems like a lot. And if you lose less than 10, you're going to win more than 26.
Right.
And so I think that – I know the coaches hate this kind of conversation, but we're in it. I think 26 or more is quite possible.
Yeah, it's
even in a brutal conference.
It's not crazy to talk about. All right, BYU finished tied for third place in the Big 12. How repeatable is that?
This is a tougher question, because as high as BYU is projected here in April for next season, Houston and Texas Tech are projected higher. Mm-hmm. And let's see, that's one, that's two, that would put us at three. Is three attainable, repeatable? Yeah. But BYU's fighting for number one. But in this league, number five could still get you a better seat than they got last year, or last month in the NCAA tournament. So that one's tough, because that one comes down to you and Texas Tech, Houston, Kansas, and that upper echelon of the Big 12, Arizona. They all got better. They all feel better about themselves. So, again, one through five is a juggernaut. Can they take third? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely repeatable.
Can they win? Yeah, but they're going to have to go through Houston to get that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I agree with you. The two teams that they're going to be jockeying for position atop the conference, I believe, is Houston and Texas Tech. Those are the obvious choices there. And I think with what – I mean, seeing what BYU was able to do with last year's roster, from a talent perspective, you look at the talent coming in, I think this team absolutely can repeat as a top three team, finishing third. And who knows? You know, you get one of these matchups, and maybe you beat Texas Tech this, you know, or maybe this time you can find a way to get Houston.
And Iowa State's in there too. I even left them out.
Absolutely, yeah. There's Iowa so State's many. Obviously in that mix as well. Yeah. I think it is repeatable.
Okay, here's one. BYU makes the Sweet 16 for just the third time in program history, the first time in 14 years. How repeatable is that?
It's repeatable, but this one's one, like the last one for you was, you know, it's kind of hard to gauge. This one's a little different because it's all about matchups sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you may have just an absolutely horrible matchup in one of these series that changes things. So I think this team is going to be built for a long postseason run. Can they get to the Sweet 16 again? Yeah, I absolutely think they can. I'd be surprised if they don't make the Sweet 16 again, Knowing what talent is on this roster. I think everybody's hoping that they're taking it to the next level and moving past just the Sweet 16. But again, it boils down to matchups and those things you just don't know at, you know, April of the year before.
One thing you do know is that if you have a good seed going into that tournament, you're going to have favorable matchups for the most part. And that's why some of those teams like Duke get to the Sweet 16 every year, whether a 1, 2, or 3 seed. And so those first two games are very winnable for Duke, and they just make it a practice. For BYU to make it a practice, it starts in conference play and have a seed that gets you matchups where Wisconsin was actually a good matchup for BYU to get to the Sweet 16. And so you do all that work in the regular season, and then the seeds reward you, and then they reward you with matchups.
Right.
If you're playing the 2 the next day, that's not a great seed for you. That's not a great road for you. But, if you can get, you know, 5 and better, then all of a sudden you're in matchups that should get you to the Sweet 16, if not a little further.
All right, the Cougars finished number 13 in the final AP poll. That's the highest the BYU's finished since Jimmer's season back in 2010. How repeatable is that?
I think it's repeatable when you consider they started this last season way over here and the poll was over here. And they finished 13th. This year, they're starting way over here in the top five, top six. And you get we see it in football all the time. You get rewarded for starting in that area because they allow for some losses, especially if you're playing good teams, and you don't go from six to 35. Yeah. But when you're back at 50, it is such a long climb. That's the miracle of 1984 to win the national championship for the football team because they started unranked. And they climbed and finished number one. BYU basketball is going to start in the top 10.
Yeah.
It might be six, it might be five, it might be four, but even if it's 10, you're in there with an opportunity to have some ebb and flow and still be in the mix. So to finish at 13, totally repeatable.
Yeah, you touched on it and you're spot on. You're starting so much higher this year than what you did last year, and we saw what they were able to do. And yeah, when you are a top 10 team, you are in some ways given the benefit of the doubt to where, to your point, if you do have a tough loss in conference along the way, it's not, they're not going to dock you 10 to 15 spots.
Right.
You know, you may fall two or three, but it allows for you to be able to make that up because of the conference you're playing in. So, yeah, it's absolutely repeatable.
Iowa State lost twice to BYU in 8 days. They hardly moved them in the polls.
Exactly.
They were 10, then they were 12.
Yep.
All right, Yegor Demin projected to be a first-round pick for BYU. First time since Jimmer in 2011. How repeatable is that?
This is going to be the most repeatable of all of these. Of course BYU is going to have another first-round pick. In fact, they may have the first of the first-round picks.
Yeah, and so, then they might have a couple more.
And they may have more than that. In fact, yes, they very well may have more than one. That is certainly the hope, and they have the players on this roster that can accomplish that. So, of all the things we've talked about, this is the most repeatable.
I still can't believe this guy's coming. And he's moved here already, and he starts class on the 29th of this month and be at the annex practicing with the guys with BYU on his chest. What a time.
What a time we live in, Dave. All right, we've answered this, so our question of the day is now for you. What are your expectations for BYU basketball in year two under Kevin Young? First response on X, 86, Wisconsin Coug. I assume that's what WI stands for. I think the minimum is Elite Eight, but saying that BYU is the most experienced tourney school to have never made a Final Four, so why not this rendition of BYU Hoops be the team to break that?
Not sure we've seen that before. The minimum is the Elite Eight.
Let me tell you, the standards and the goals have changed in a very short period of time, haven't they?
Yeah, they have.
Yes, they have. All right, continue to weigh in on our question of the day on X, Facebook, and on Instagram.
Talk about women's basketball. Lee Kamard and the program that he's now in charge of announced the signings of Olivia Hamlin and Yusef Bola to their 2025 recruiting class. Also, the addition of Laura Rokel. Do you like what Lee's putting together? He had to get some size, then he went and got some quickness. Yep. In just these three players.
Yeah, I love what's happening. I mean, you look at Olivia, the freshman, number two player in Utah, originally committed to Nebraska, and she really wanted to be here, and she brings such a scoring punch. And then the last two, Yusef, from Nigeria originally, but played high school in Japan. And these next two, both 6'3", Yusef and Laura, both 6'3", forwards. Yusef, 24 points, almost 19 rebounds during her senior season in Japan. And then Laura, her senior year at the College of Charleston, where she's transferring from, 10 points and 9 rebounds. You're starting to see some of the size now come back in after some of the bigs graduated this
And that's
last
where
year.
They suffered the last few years was bigs. And they've got Delaney Gibb. When she's not surfing on board the Navigator of the Sea, she's the Big 12 Freshman of the Year. You can build around her. Hamlin, 28 points a game in high school here in Utah. That's a nice piece. You got two guards. Get some size down low, and you can put a team together.
All right, one other thing yesterday. It was a busy news day over the last 24 hours. BYU Women's Soccer released their schedule for the 2025 season. We're taking a look at it right now here. On BYU TV, you've got August 2nd, you've got the blue-white game, August 6th, the 9th, exhibitions, and then August 23rd is the home opener against UCLA. Your Big 12 home games, West Virginia, Cincinnati, Arizona, Colorado, and Kansas. What stands out to you in this?
I'm a big fan of summer. But I love when these schedules come out because it makes it feel like it's not that far away. I mean, August 2nd is just around the corner, and that's when the blue-white game is and a couple of exhibitions before they get going. Love it. Love that UCLA is the home opener. It'll be a hot night. There won't be an open seat at South Field, and the Cougars and Bruins have had some classic matches. They won't be number one this time when they come.
Right.
And BYU won't be number one after they beat them like last time. But BYU and UCLA is a great soccer series. So I'm glad that's how the home slate is beginning.
Okay, I'm going to answer this. I'm going to go off script just a little bit. So when the original graphic from BYU actually came out, they had the schedule and they had a couple of players, and the biggest photo on the graphic was Ellie Walbrook. And so what stands out to me is not anything on the schedule. What stands out to me is the fact that Ellie Walbrook is back and healthy. Not having her last year, that was such a big loss. So I look at this schedule and I think, you know what? It is a lot less daunting knowing that Ellie Walbrook is going to be on the field this year.
Going to be fun. Good to see him. Now we'll wait for the other schedules to pop out. And at some point, we're going to get some TV times for football.
That's right.
That's always speeds the calendar. There's baseball tonight, BYU and Arizona. 22nd-ranked Wildcats in town for the first time in 8 years. Three-game series. First game, 6:30 on BYU Radio with Jason on ESPN Plus with Gary and me. And bring a blanket. Should be fun.
Absolutely. Up next, BYU's new point guard, Robert Wright III, makes his show debut. Why BYU is the right fit for him and what his expectations are for next season in Provo. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU officially signing Robert Wright III.
Right with the finish.
He's the ultimate floor general.
Robert Wright III getting it done.
I think he is a perfect fit for what Kevin Young wants to do. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. Alongside Dave McCann, my name is Jason Shepherd, and we could not be more thrilled to introduce our next guest, making his BYU Sports Nation debut, new BYU basketball point guard, Robert Wright III. Rob, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming on the show today.
I'm doing good. I'm great. I'm grateful to be here.
Boy, you certainly made a lot of BYU fans happy with your decision to choose to play for the BYU Cougars. Let's jump right into it. Why was BYU the right fit for you?
I believe just the way that Kevin Young wants to play. I mean, he loves small guards that can play fast-paced, and get guys involved as well as score. So him coaching a guy like Chris Paul and kind of just me being kind of similar to that, I think it was a great fit.
What impressed you the most about BYU this last season that had them on your radar?
I mean, definitely just how they were playing so connected and so together. They were really competitive. We played them up at Provo, so, I mean, I kind of already knew how good they were, because we went to like a overtime game with them. So, I mean, just how fast like things turned for that program, and just going to the Sweet 16 was cool. That was very good for them.
Rob, you mentioned Coach Young and obviously his NBA ties, and you mentioned a guy like Chris Paul. How much does that mean to a player like you that your head coach not only has the ability and has coached guys of that caliber, but also has the relationship still to this day with guys who are going to be Hall of Famers in the NBA?
I mean, this world is all about connections. So, I mean, that's obviously a great thing. I went to Chris Paul's camp. So on my visit, he had called Chris, and we kind of chopped it up for a little bit. So that was cool.
Well, let's talk about relationships. There's A.J. DiBonza coming to town.
Yeah.
What's your relationship like with A.J., and how influential was he in you choosing BYU?
I mean, I knew AJ since I was like 16, just playing. We both played at the high level our whole lives. So just playing against him, then playing with him, played with him at Slam. So, I mean, he played a big factor. I mean, being the number one player, supposed to be number one draft pick, just having those lights on him at all times, it's just, I'm happy for him.
You mentioned that you obviously have been able to experience the Marriott Center, but the last time you were here, they weren't necessarily cheering you on. That will certainly change.
Yeah.
This upcoming year, what do you specifically remember from that environment, and how excited are you to know that the BYU fans will now be on your side this time?
I mean, I remember it was sold out. It was packed. I think Conor McGregor was at the game we played. I remember I had to make those two big free throws in front of the student section. It was super loud. It was crazy. It was a great environment. I'm happy that this time I got them guys on my side cheering for me. So I'm just blessed and grateful.
What will that energy do to your game as you're out there on the floor with The Rock behind you?
It'll do a lot. I play off energy. So having them behind me, I think it'll just give me an energy boost and just have me going crazy.
Rob, you're obviously a piece to the overall puzzle of what this team wants to be. There's still roster spots open. What do you make of how Coach Young and the coaching staff are building this team right now?
I just think they're trying to make guys who can play up and down and guard, just guys who can run the floor, not too ball dominant, just a bunch of guys who just want to win. I think he's just looking for winners.
Let's talk about your game. You can get to the rim, you can shoot the three, but where do you find the most satisfaction? You scoring at the rim, or you lobbing for Kaba Keita or for AJ to throw it down with a dunk?
Definitely probably a lob dunk gets the crowd into the game. Especially we played Kaba last year. He had a crazy dunk versus us. His head was like above the rim. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to throwing lobs down.
We're talking with new BYU point guard Robert Wright III here on BYU Sports Nation. And, you know, Rob, obviously we know that that one of your goals and one of your dreams is to play in the National Basketball Association. How close do you feel you are to being able to play in the NBA? And how can coming to BYU and playing in this program and in this system help you get there?
I think I'm really close. I mean, so coming to BYU, I think that's just going to help me even more. I think it was just kind of the next step of my development and my growth. So I think we're going to both help each other. I'm going to end up getting to my main goal. And then we just going to win while we're here, try to get a national championship, of course.
These pieces are coming together. Richie Saunders has yet to officially declare his intention. What's your pitch right now to Richie to come back and join you?
The Sweet 16, that was nice, but I think you want to go farther.
Obviously, you've played a season in the Big 12. You know what it takes to play in this conference and be successful. For you on a personal level, how much do you think it will help you going into year two and knowing what to expect? Even though there'll be a lot of things new for you on a new team, within the conference itself, having a year under your belt in the Big 12, how much do you think that will help you?
I think it'll help a lot, just not having to all the way adjust to the physicality of the Big 12 because it's not a lot of fouls caught and things like that. So just kind of already knowing those things and being able to help guys like AJ, I think that'll be huge.
So Rob Wright III, tell us about the other two.
Who, my dad and my grandfather?
Yeah, tell us about this legacy that you're now extending to Provo.
Well, my grandfather, he owns a funeral home company called House of Wright Mortuary, but he passed away probably when I was like eighth grade. He passed away, so he's not here with us anymore. But my dad, he's a police officer, and he works in school. So he also was in the Army and things like that, so the legacy, just got to keep it going. I'm probably the most talented on the basketball court, of course.
You could beat the other two, is what you're saying, even in their prime. What does it mean? What does it mean to you to continue that legacy?
It means a lot. I mean, my grandfather did a lot of stuff while he was here. Just seeing him be able to chase his goal, a lot of people told me he wouldn't be able to do it. That's probably what keeps me going the most, because people are always going to doubt you and things like that. But it's just like the drive, the strive you have within yourself. So
how much of a help and how much have you been able to lean on your family as you went through making this decision, and what did they think when you decided to come to BYU?
I mean, making this decision definitely wasn't easy. So my family just being there for me, just telling them, praying over me, things like that, I think that really helped a lot. And then once they found out that I was going to make the move to BYU, I mean, they were all happy. Because they seen the year they had last year and just the thing they're building over there, so they were excited.
So have you replaced, at least with the family, because I know you're still finishing up school at Baylor, but at least has the family replaced all of the green and the gold with the blue now?
I think they're about to start doing that. I don't think they are all the way did it yet.
So, Rob, our question of the day on the show is, what are your expectations for BYU basketball in year two of Kevin Young? What are your expectations?
My expectations is to win the Big 12, and then just don't lose any home games at the Marriott Center for the fans, and definitely to get that national championship.
Rob, you just mentioned that obviously you're finishing out school at Baylor. What's the timeline for you to be up here? When do you plan to actually be on campus?
I believe as soon as I finish school, so after May 11th, probably like the 12th, 13th, anywhere around there.
As you look at this staff that Kevin Young has put together, and again, part of the pitch is to come to BYU and prepare to get to the NBA. So it's not just him, but it's the other. I think there's like 15 guys on his staff.
Yeah.
All of them have that kind of experience. How important was all of that for you to make this choice?
It was super important. It made the decision a lot easier, just knowing that I want to be in the NBA one day and that they wanted me to give me the best chance to be able to accomplish my dreams while coming to a program that's trying to win. And I'm a big guy who likes to win, so I'm a big competitor. So the pitch was great.
Your major to be is communications. Shep and I are both graduates of the BYU Communication School, so anyone can get through if we can get through. But that also, as we talked earlier, that also had something to do with your choice here.
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, having being able just to switch my major over, that was just an easy switch, and it was good.
All right, so we mentioned that fans are beyond excited with the news that you're going to be coming and playing in Provo for BYU beginning this next season. What's your message to BYU fans that are watching and listening and that will watch you and this team this year? What's your message? What do you want them to know?
I want them to know that it's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be a lot of dunks, a lot of excitement, a lot of threes. Just to be ready and just be cheering very loud for us and just supporting us all the way like they always do. So just go Cougs.
There we go. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. All right, this is the first interview of many, we hope, but we want to pass along. We have something we call BYU Sports Nation Karma. And so we're going to give you a little BYU Sports Nation Karma, and you can use it however you'd like in the off season as you prepare.
It can also help with final exams,
yes,
even at another school.
Absolutely. So we're going to give you the BYU Sports Nation Karma, and we wish you all the best and can't wait to see you here on campus soon.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
All right. There we go. That is new BYU point guard Robert Wright III.
Rob. Excited to see him play. He's got some excitement in his voice. I love what he said about playing in front of this crowd at the Marriott Center. Yeah. And he did hit two big free throws to force overtime. He scored the last 14 points in regulation for Baylor to force overtime. And he had to hit those shots right in the middle of the rock. And this year it'll be a reversal of fortune because that rock will be cheering for him.
Anybody that has experienced a BYU basketball game and the energy, you know, sometimes you can hear people talk about it and it kind of, you know, it may sound like it's something that they have to say. Every one of these players know the importance of having that type of atmosphere to play in. It's real, and they know it, and it really is a selling point to them. And you heard Rob talk about it, that he can't wait to be able to play in front of these fans because he knows what type of advantage that is here at the Marriott Center.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you talk to Rob, you talk to AJ, and we talk to Yegor. It's about they're coming to BYU because this program can help them get to the NBA. But then they're also coming, and they bring it up, they're coming because AJ wants to take business classes, which he's going to start at the end of the month. Yegor's education was important to him, and Rob's important to get into the communication program and continue that, which is what he started at Baylor. So they're coming to play, they're coming to go to the NBA, but they're also coming for a BYU educational experience. And a lot of people just stop at coming to the NBA.
Right.
But these guys have a little more to them. And it was fun to hear that from Rob.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it again. An absolute perfect fit for this program and for what Kevin Young wants to run in this offense. It's going to be so much
fun.
I'm
telling you what, seeing him on the floor against Villanova at T-Mobile.
Let's
in November,
go.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Rivals collide tonight over at Gale Miller Field as BYU softball hosts Utah. Game one of their three-game series starts at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Three more BYU football players entered the transfer portal yesterday, plus a new school record goes down on the track. Headlines up next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Back to Studio B, Jason here, Dave McCann there. Let's get to today's headlines.
Start with football. Three Cougars are in the transfer portal as of yesterday. Running back Kale Breslin officially in, tight end Nason Coleman, offensive lineman Justice Enna, the son of linebackers coach, Justin, he's in. So that makes five players who have entered the portal officially during this spring window. Roster cuts are a real thing, roster limitations, and the portal's there for everyone.
BYU Women's Basketball announced the signings of Olivia Hamlin and Yusuf Bola to the 2025 recruiting class yesterday. Hamlin, a 5'10 guard, is the number two player in the state of Utah, averaged 28 points a game this past season. She was originally committed to Nebraska. And Bola is from Lagos, Nigeria. She played her high school career in Japan, averaged 24.7 points per game and just under 19 rebounds during her senior season. The Cougars also announced the signing of transfer 6'3 forward Lara Rokel from the College of Charleston. Rokel, who is from Germany, averaged 10 points and 9 boards as a senior. This upcoming season will be her final year of eligibility.
The world is our campus.
Yes, indeed.
Women's soccer announcing the 2025 schedule. BYU will open the season August 14th at Minnesota in the Big Ten. UCLA of the Big Ten will come to Provo for the home opener on August 23rd. Circle that one on your calendar. The Cougars open Big 12 play on the road at Arizona State on September 20th.
BYU softball hosts Utah in a three-game series this weekend. This will be the first series as conference foes since 2011. Game one starts tonight, 8:30 Eastern Time on ESPN+.
BYU baseball opening a series against 22nd-ranked Arizona tonight. Game one, 6:30 Eastern Time on BYU Radio and ESPN+. It's a full day for you and me. We'll be on the call on both of those locations. This is a very crucial Big 12 series for BYU.
Big-time series against a number 22 team in the nation. Women's track and field's Jenna Hutchins broke the school record in the 10K yesterday at the Brian Clay Invitational in California. She ran a time of 32:22.98, improving her best by 21 seconds.
Wow.
It's the ninth fastest time in the 10K this season in the NCAA. And men's track and field runner Joey Noakes ran the ninth fastest men's 10K time in program history yesterday, running a time of 28:06.44. at the Brian Clay Invitational.
Every time they go out and run, something happens.
Breaking records left and right.
Brinley Anderson of BYU Gymnastics on the balance beam today in the individual competition at the NCAA Championships. First individual to qualify for the event since 2021. She's currently ranked 24th nationally on the beam. We wish her a very balanced, successful day.
See what you did there. Men's golf took sixth at the 78th Western Intercollegiate in Santa Cruz after shooting 9 over par in the 54-hole event. Peter Kim finished in third place at 6 under, which is his third top three finish on the season.
Women's golf currently in seventh place, two rounds into the Big 12 Championships over in Houston. Freshman Naji Aramakul sits in ninth place at 1 over par. Final round today. Cougars need to get off to a good start this morning and close some. Need a good close. Let's just go with that. Close.
Yeah. Let's talk a little tennis here. BYU men's and women's tennis beginning competition at the Big 12 Championships today in Waco. Maybe they can say hi to Rob Wright while they're there. Maybe they'll run into him. 7-seed women's tennis plays against 10-seed Kansas State tonight. In the second round of the women's bracket, 9-seed men's team will face off against the 8-seed Oklahoma State Cowboys this afternoon in the first round of the men's bracket. All right, still to come, Brielle Kimmelbohr and Ellie Mortensen of BYU Women's Volleyball give us an update from the cruise and look ahead to the 2025 season. That's next on BYU Sports Nation.
Cruising with the Cougs.
It's great to be on this cruise. Great to have some real sunshine here and enjoy these Cougar fans. It's been an unbelievable week. BYU Sports Nation continues live from
the North Pacific Ocean on the Navigator of the Seas alongside Blaine Fowler. I am Spencer Linton. We should note we found Jeremy. He's hosting a basketball panel. He's doing well. Some of you were concerned. We were just giving him a hard time. Everything's good. Yes. We promise.
He's been working a lot and covering a lot of panels, but we love to give Jeremy a hard time.
Yes, we do. Let's get to our next interview now. Brielle Kemivore had a monster season for BYU Women's Volleyball, but she has her sights set on several things that are bigger. For more on that, let's go to an interview we taped a few days ago with one of BYU's outstanding volleyball stars. Listen, we talked to a lot of great athletes on this boat, but not everybody just goes by only their initials, okay? So Brielle Kemivore, BK, is unique in that aspect. All right, BK, for you, what's been the best part of this entire Cruising with the Cougs experience?
I think the best part of this entire experience is just meeting a bunch of different people. We'll have a bunch of different people come up to us and ask us, like, are you volleyball or basketball? And, like, what sports do you play? And where are you from? And things like that. And that's my favorite part, is just making connections with people and just talking to people about their lives. 100%.
Okay, so how many conversations would you guesstimate that you have had through the first 2 days of this cruise?
A lot. Definitely more than I can count. We're trying to remember everyone's names, for sure. But we're doing good so far.
You're doing great work. Expectations for BYU women's volleyball are always high. And when you're playing with a team like Ellie Mortensen and so many other great players, you can see why expectations are so high. So how do you feel like this team can go to another level, given what you went through a season ago?
Yeah, we got some new girls this season, and they're super excited, super pumped, ready to play. And I think that we're just learning how to gel as a team. Like, every year the team's new, we're learning how to gel, learning our strengths, and that'll help us fly through next season.
You had a massive season, to say the least.
Thank you.
But you said you're still working. So what is it that you have been working on specifically in your game?
Yeah. So one thing I really love focusing on is, like, the mental aspect of the game. A lot of people don't think about that. Just skills. But the mental is just as, if not more important than the physical aspect of it. So getting mentally strengthened and just working on our cues and things like that. That's one thing I focus on. And then obviously just getting better skill-wise. So I'm a middle. So, like, laterally moving left and right, blocking, and like keeping my vert up and things like that. So just anything to better my game so I can help my team.
What are you hoping that this cruise does for the camaraderie and interaction of the BYU fans that made the choice to be here?
I think that it is a super cool opportunity to have this many people who love BYU and love one common thing together. And I think that just moving forward, it's going to bring us together even more as a family. And I hope that I'll get to see some of these people that I met at the Smithfield House and get to go up to them and recognize them and know their names. And I think it's just going to bring us together as a Cougar family.
Well, certainly a huge member of that Cougar family that we said goodbye to recently is the great, legendary Elaine Michaelis. What have you enjoyed learning about her as we've been celebrating her life?
Yeah, we love Elaine, and it was super, super sad to hear about her passing. But the amount of work that she's done in women's athletics specifically, at BYU in general, but in women's athletics, is super inspiring. She was always a really big advocate for women's sports and pushing women to get have opportunities to be in sports and to learn everything that men might be learning and things like that. So she has just been... from her passing, it's been super sad, but we get to look back on all the good things that she's done in her life and remember those things. And she's such a kind, sweet-hearted person.
Well said. Women's sports at BYU are special, and they carry a significant amount of accomplishment and power. What is it about the women's sports side of BYU athletics that makes it so special?
I think women are so powerful. Women are so powerful, and we're able to just relate to everything, honestly. That's, I think so. Like, we're able to relate to everything, and we're able to put our foot down and make a name for ourselves, because I mean, nothing comes easy for you in sports, and especially being a woman, nothing comes easy. So being able to put your foot down and just be like, yep, I'm gonna do this and grind and work super, super hard, I think that's the biggest thing.
So grateful to have you on the boat, and congratulations on an incredible season a year ago. Can't wait to see what you do this upcoming season.
Thank you so much. Go Cougs!
Let's keep it rolling with another volleyball star. Ellie Mortensen also had a chance to speak with another budding star. Ellie, what's this like to have clinics being run behind you on a huge ship with 3,500 BYU fans and this entire cruise experience like?
It is so amazing. We are so lucky to be here just with all Cougar Nation, get to interact and meet so many people that have been supporting us while we play the sport that we love. So it's so awesome that we have this opportunity to give back in a way and just have so much fun with them. It's awesome.
What were the emotions like for you early in the cruise, walking out on that grand stage and having everyone essentially cheer for you?
Yeah, it was a surreal moment. Just being able to be here playing D1 volleyball, like, that's been my dream since I was little. So just the fact that I'm here, like, it definitely brings me joy, just like joy and a sense of, like, I don't even know, just good happiness. Like, I'm just so excited to be in this position that I'm in.
You're part of a legacy family as far as BYU Cougars go. So what's it like for you to carry on the Mortensen name and play Division I volleyball at BYU?
Yeah, it's very special. On our team, we talk about it a lot. We play on top of the shoulders of those who came before us. So for me, just having one of those be my mom is very special. And it's like, I have some big shoes to fill. And so it's like, it puts, not pressure, but like, it gives me good motivation to keep working hard and to be my best.
What's the best bit of advice your mom has given to you, at least in your BYU career, as you have been a BYU volleyball player?
She always just tells me to be me, and that is enough. Like, as just making the adjustment from high school and changing roles and just being a part of something bigger, representing Christ and wearing BYU on my jersey, to just be myself, and that will represent it well. So yeah.
How do you balance that relationship of sports only and then wanting to do something more at a place like BYU? Because that topic has come into the forefront more, not just in volleyball, but in all the sports at BYU. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, for me, I just like to use this as a way to share about Christ. Like, I love using social media too, to just share quotes that I've loved from conference that we just had, or just from anything in general, to just use it as a way to spread the gospel.
What's next on the goal sheet for you individually and then as a team?
Yeah, I just think as we look forward to this upcoming season, to just really focus on team. We've been talking about that in this off season, how we can be better and contribute to the team as a whole. So for me, I'm just focused on doing whatever I can to build up our team, make us better. And for this season, we just want to compete as hard as we can in the Big 12. We know we're up there. We know we're a good team, and we can hang with everyone. So we just want to compete and do our best. So
I know it's been an emotional week losing the great Elaine Michaelis. You play on Elaine Michaelis court. When you think about her and hear about her legacy, what does that mean to you and everything that she did for women's sports, specifically at BYU?
Yeah, it means a lot. And my mom, having played for her, she was a legend. Like, she is amazing. And so, kind of like I said, with having my mom play here and standing on her shoulders, Elaine is a big piece of that, of our history. Like, she will always be someone that we look to and that we just keep continuing to try and do what she did, share the gospel. Everyone at the funeral was really beautiful. They talked about how she led with the Spirit. And so we just continue, and Heather does a great job of trying to keep that going for her.
What's the best thing that you've done on the boat, though? So it could be something you ate, an activity. What's been the best thing?
Honestly, for me, just getting to talk to everyone. Like, we've been stopped multiple times, just being like having an opportunity to talk to all the fans and donors who are here and who give so much to BYU. To me, it's so special to actually meet them in person and get to know them a little bit on a personal level. So even though the food is great, the activities are great, there's so much to do, but for me, it's actually having those conversations and getting to talk to everyone.
We appreciate the time, and enjoy the rest of the cruise.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What are your expectations for BYU basketball in year two under Kevin Young? More responses to our question of the day are on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
What are your expectations for BYU basketball in year two under Kevin Young? Brings us to our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. From Brock.Fillmore on Instagram, Fritchie is back with one more big transfer. Elite Eight minimum. Why not? Keep stacking years. Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Jenna Hutchins, she just runs fast. There's no one's run the 10K faster than her at BYU.
Thanks today to our guests, Robert Wright III, Brielle Kemivore, and Ellie Mortensen. For Dave, I'm Jason. See you tomorrow for more BYUSN. Shout out to Cam Tucker. Go Cougs.